booked. Excuse me.
Sorry. Judas, what are you doing here?
Salam, I was feeling a little sick. We were having the Passover with the master, and I just needed some air. How are you? What are you doing here? Weren't you home with your family?
We just finished our Seder. Are you sure you're all right?
Yes, I'm fine now, really.
I'm on my way back to the market.
Oh.
I'm going to look for Mary Magdalene and the other woman. They all need places to stay. It's always busy in Jerusalem, though, during the Passover. But this year, it's been mad.
It has been mad.
Hasn't it been amazing? I can hardly believe the way the Master has been received. They're calling him the Son of David.
Listen, Salome.
Do you think it's true, Judas? Is that what this is all about? Could Jesus really be the Messiah?
Salome.
I'm sorry. It's just that I thought, well, you're one of the 12. You speak with them every day. Judas, tell me, is it true? All the women are convinced of it. He is the Messiah, isn't he?
No, Salome, he isn't. Listen, Salome, there's something I have to tell you.
What?
About Jesus.
What?
He's been acting strange lately. Maybe you've noticed.
I don't. I've never really understood the things he does.
He wants to die.
What?
He wants it. He wants to die. I think he's gone mad.
Judas.
Salome, just listen. You saw the crowds today. They'd followed him everywhere. This is more than we could have imagined. You're right. Jesus is a great man. He could be the Messiah. But he doesn't want it. He's just throwing it all away.
I know he's been talking about turn over to the authorities, but...
For months he's been talking about it.
But I thought he was just warning us.
He wants to die, and he wants us all to die with him. He asks if we can drink from the cup from which he will drink. That's what he means, to die. Do you know what he's doing right now? He's telling them that the bread and the wine is his body and blood. That's insane. That's why I had to leave. I'm not sick. I'm just not going to drink from that cup. He's trying to turn Passover into some kind of bizarre ritual that's all about him, about his death. It's all about Jesus. It's always about Jesus. And nobody has the courage to question or to challenge. Peter, James, and John are crawling over each other to get closer to him.
Judas, wait. Calm down. Don't let all this excitement upset you. Jesus has always been hard to understand, but he's always taking care of us. There must be some explanation, even if we don't understand it. You know him. You've been with him. Think about it. Look at what happened with Lazarus. We thought he was gone, but Jesus brought him back to life, not death. He's done that for all of us, brought us life. I know the scribes and Pharisees hate him, but how could they possibly do anything to him? The whole city is in an uproar over him. They know he's a great prophet.
He is a great prophet. That's the point. That's what Jesus wants for himself. Look at what he says about the prophets. They were betrayed, driven out, and even killed. He wants to make himself a sacrifice. That's what all this business about the Passover is. He's giving his body and blood, the Passover lamb. Take and drink this cup. This is my blood. It doesn't matter. Forget it. Listen to me, Salome. What's important is that the priests who know who we all are, they're watching us, everything we do. We're in trouble. We've got to save ourselves. Get away from here. Let the priest have him. Let him have his wish. The rest of them too. I'm begging you. Warn the other women. Get away from Jerusalem tonight before it's too late. Save yourself.
Judas, I can't do that. Judas, Jesus about to die? How can that be? Oh, Heavenly Father, help us. You saved us from the angel of death. You gave us the bread, the wine, the lamb. You gave us faith to believe your promises. Oh, Father, give us the faith to believe now. Don't let us lose faith in Jesus. That would be worse than dying. Give us the strength to drink from the cup our Master has offered us, whatever it means, wherever it leads.
a different way, perhaps, of thinking about Judas and his motives, but also a different way of looking at Christ and his motives. We have the Son of God, who has all of the power in the universe at his hands. The Son of God who reminds his disciples that he could call down legions of angels to fight for him. We have the Son of Man, who struggles with going to a cross. The vignette has Judas pointing out that Jesus wants to die, that he's been talking about it for months, that that's all he can talk about and think about, that somehow he has some sort of a death wish. But the reality from the 22nd chapter of Luke says, he withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down and prayed, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me." He didn't want to die. And yet, Father, not my will, but yours be done. Jesus understood the plan of his Father, a plan that the Lamb of God must suffer and die to take away the sins of the world. Jesus suffers and dies on a cross for you and for me. And what comes to us as a result is what we call grace. We put the words grace and mercy together quite often, and sometimes we confuse them. And next week we will certainly take a more in-depth look at our God who is merciful. But grace is something that comes to people totally undeserved, unearned and unmerited. St. Paul in his letter to the Ephesians reminds us in the second chapter, it is by grace that you are saved through faith, not by works. There isn't a single thing that I can do or that you can do to earn, to achieve, to win God's grace. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious. That means that we have a God who gives to us totally and freely from his own heart, because he loves each and every one of us. I want you to think for just a moment. This world tells us that there is no such thing as a free lunch. Just ask Albuquerque Public Schools. And somehow, Even we as Christians have difficulty explaining to people a grace that comes freely with no strings attached. Sometimes even Lutherans have problems explaining this because, you see, we always want to add in something like Christ saves you, but. Or, you are certainly saved by grace through faith, but. And any time we add something to that, we just tied a bunch of strings to the grace. Somehow in our human sinfulness, we have a hard time believing that God can love us just the way we are. That God loves us without our changing first. That there is no condition here that says, your grace is mine if. And so we struggle. How can God do this? How can He love me just the way I am? Because I kind of really know how I am. I do a good job of hiding it with people around me or with my coworkers or with the world. I put on a pretty good mask when I go to church, and every time I walk through the doors, I pray that the roof won't cave in. Oh, what a wretched sinner I am. How can He love me? St. Paul struggled with it. The good that I would do, that I find myself not doing. That which I should not do, that I find myself doing. It's easy for us to somehow try to measure our favor with God, or perhaps chalk up a few brownie points here and there. But the reality is when we begin to see what God's true expectations are for our lives, it's not one of us measures up. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and no one is righteous, not even one. And yet, our God, in His grace, sent forth His Son into this world. Not so that the world would be condemned through Him, but rather that the world might be saved through Him. For it is the death of Christ on a cross, a death that our Savior certainly did not want to experience, but yet was willing to place His life into the hands of His Father, who said, "You need to die, so that My grace might abound." Your blood needs to be shed so that My cup of grace can overflow. Your body needs to be broken so that My people can be fed. Not with the false hope of the world, but with the bread of life. You see, God loves us. Each and every one of us. Because we are His. I'm looking out over you tonight. And I don't see any ashen crosses on your foreheads. In a week's time, they've disappeared. That outward sign is gone. But I know that the grace of God lives in you because your foreheads and your hearts have been painted with the cross of Christ in the waters of baptism. And you are His redeemed children. And His grace continues to work in your lives every day. Because you see, in His love, He picks you up when you fall down. And He brushes you off and sets you on your feet. In His grace, He gives you hugs during your times of grief and sorrow. In His grace, He reminds you that you are His and you belong to Him. In His grace, He celebrates with you at the joys of life. In His grace, He wraps you in His arms, sits you on His lap, and reminds you that no matter what you do, He will never stop loving you. I don't know about you, but I don't deserve any of that kind of treatment from my God. And yet He still gives it to me and to you. Judas, you see, had it all wrong. He thought it was about the crowds. He thought it was just about the teachings. He thought perhaps even that it was about the fame, maybe even the glory. But you see, it wasn't. It was all about a God who extends His grace through the gift of the death of His own Son. Return to the Lord your God, for He is indeed gracious. Amen.